should probably know that by now. But. How many know what an heir is? H-E-I-R. What's an heir? Say again? So if you were told that you were an heir of, let's think of someone who has lots of money. Who has lots of money? Bill Gates. Well, yeah, but he's kind of stingy. His kids aren't getting a lot. Most of it is going to various charities and foundations. But let's say the Queen. Okay, she owns 5 castles and is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Is it on?
Should be. I thought I pushed the buttons here. Yep, it says it's on. The red light's on. Maybe the batteries aren't happy. Maybe volume had to go up, maybe. Good. So you have been told you are an heir to the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, I believe she is. And she dies, and they're calling you for the reading of the will. Would that be of interest? Why would that be of interest? Because you'd expect something. You're going to get something. And when you know that she owns 5 castles and has hundreds of millions of dollars, your expectation level goes up. As opposed to, say, you were the heir of someone who lived in a tent on the street. Now, you and I, we've been declared heirs of God. And the problem with this is that the reality of these words is so overwhelming, it's hard to digest them. So let me read first to it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. We'll start with 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So it says here that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What's that mean? What do you think of when you hear that, those words? You're an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. What does your mind say to you?
Whatever is His is ours.
Whatever is His is ours. Okay. Anything else?
We've inherited a kingdom.
We've inherited a kingdom. We are joint heirs with Him, it says. That's what it says here, joint heirs with Jesus. So what it's saying here is that we are sharing all the privileges and rights that Jesus earned and received from the Father. All of them. And God has made us joint heirs with Jesus. What's the problem with that, do you think? Is there a problem with it? Anyone?
Yeah,
because we don't behave as though we're joint heirs, or we don't fathom the depth of the meaning joint heirs.
We don't get it. That's the reality. It's like being told, Hanish, that today you have inherited $80 trillion. No taxes. But the mind has a hard time understanding what does $80 trillion mean? It's overwhelming. And yet this is so far even beyond $80 trillion that the natural mind can't grasp this truth. Not with any degree of usefulness. The mind has a vague notion of what this means. And there's probably a lot of theological people that said, oh yes, I understand it. Well, we're in church, so we won't answer that. But no, they don't. No one really grasps it. No one. Because if you did grasp this, if you did, what would be the evidence? If you grasp that you're a joint heir with Jesus. Yes, that's true. Beyond that, you would look like Jesus. You would act like Jesus. You would have the same power flowing through you that Jesus has. So what does that tell us? Well, let's ask the question. Do you? Do you have that kind of power? Do people look at you and say, wow, you remind me of Jesus? Has anyone ever said that to you? So what does that tell us? We don't got it. It means that this is so far beyond our intellect, and yet it's a reality. It is, in God's mind, this is reality. This is reality. And this is what he wants to impart to you and I. Hence the Bible. This book was designed by God to explain to you and to me what God's done for us. Amen. The problem for us generally is that this book was written in spirit and we are reading it in flesh. That's what makes it so hard for us to grasp it. In order to absorb and experience the truths that God has released to us in this book, it takes absolute commitment. Absolute, because the promises are not unconditional. You know, we can't pick and choose through here and say, well, I like this, but I don't like that. I'll take this portion, but I don't want that portion. It's literally all or nothing. All or nothing. For example, we look at Colossians. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Here's one of the truths. I'm going to back it up a bit because it has all kinds of stuff in here. Verse 13, you being dead in your trespasses, that's us, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses. When you got born again, God wiped out all our sins, all of them. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, against us again, he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What does that mean? What do you hear? When I read this, what do you hear? See, that's why it's so important that we grasp this. It's so important. This is your life. It's like explaining in the will what this portion means. You know, and I can't think of the jargon at the moment, but there are, in some wills, there are things where it says you get so much of this and a portion of that and da 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 da. And people look at it and it's like, eh? They don't get it. And it could be very meaningful. It could mean a great amount of finances for you. Well, this, what he's saying to us here is that Jesus defeated the devil. Jesus defeated the devil completely. Completely and totally. And he did it for us. He beat the crap out of him and said, here is my victory for you. For you. For you. For me. And for us to be able to lay hold of that more than in an intellectual way, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I have many things I want to say to you, but you can't handle it right now. But when He, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of God comes, He's going to explain this to you. Because He's going to live inside of your spirit. And He's going to take my will, God's will, the Bible, and He's going to explain verses that, just like this one, that seems so overwhelming. He's going to explain them to us. Now the problem with that is that He's not going to explain it to the intellect. He is going to impart it as a spiritual truth to your spirit and my spirit. So that if I don't do something to build my spirit up, if I don't undertake to spend quality time with God, my spirit won't have an opportunity to get to the place to understand. It's like saying, the Holy Spirit is going to speak French to you. Unlikely, but possible. If you don't understand French, He could be telling you the deepest secrets of His heart, and it would be meaningless. So what do you have to do? You have to learn French. Well, we have to learn spirit. We have to learn spirit. Very few people were born into families where that was the way of life. Most of us learned later on. And you need a personal encounter with Christ. In order for these things to become real, you have to know that God is real. And you have to encounter God. And I know I've told you stories before, but I feel like I've been so blessed because my experiences with God, the supernatural ones, have brought me to the place where I'm convinced. I'm convinced. Now, I know I don't understand everything here, and I don't get everything here, but I am convinced that He wants to impart it to me. I am convinced that what He has said here in His Word is truth. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit who is living in us has been put there to help us. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that if I could get on the wavelength with God, I would hear so much more than I hear now from God. I'm convinced that if I spend time with the Holy Spirit, these truths will become more and more real to me. Such as Jesus has defeated all of our enemies, spiritual, on this earth, and he has paid the price to God the Father for all of our sinful, rebellious acts against God. Now remember, everything belongs to Jesus, everything. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Everything. Everything that belongs to Him. And so what about, well, let me just read it here from the curse here. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61. Who'd like to read that for me, please? Deuteronomy 28:61. Anyone who gets there, go ahead.
Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are restored.
So that's, if you're living under a curse, you're not living under the blessing of God. And that includes poverty, sickness, depression, anxiety, and every other bad thing. So, the curse is not something we want to live under.
Amen.
But we don't have to. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, and that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith." That's what God's done for us. That's what God, He has redeemed us from every evil thing, including sickness, disease, poverty, depression, everything else bad you can think of. And then He put it into His book here and told us these truths. Some of them over and over and over and over and over and over again, just to make sure we get it. For example, Exodus 15:26. Someone would like to read that? I could just quote them, but I don't want to. I want somebody to read it. Exodus 15:26, and then someone else can pull up Exodus 23:25. Whenever you get there, go ahead. Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the Lord who healed. I am the Lord. He's telling us here He's our healer. Exodus 23:25.
So you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Do you see, though, that these blessings are not unconditional? They're not... You can't do anything you want and then say to God, "Well, you're my healer. You know, thank you, God, you're my healer. I hate so-and-so, and I can't stand this one, and I ripped that one off, and I did this, that, and the other. I don't bother ever coming to church. I don't give God anything, but you're still my healer, because I claimed it." People, there are people like that. I'm not kidding. I have met them. There are people like that. But these promises are not like that. They're relational promises. They're relational. You have to have a relationship with Him, and a good relationship with Him. Psalm 103, verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. Going once. Say it again.
Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases.
Verse 4.
Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Now, what does verse 1 tell us that is? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 2, sorry, and forget not His benefits. Forget not His benefits. These are benefits. These are benefits. What's a benefit?
Something that does us good.
Something does us good? Maybe. Not all benefits could be good, I guess. It depends.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's...
Usually, if something benefits you, it's something that helps your life.
And usually, it benefits something that's negotiated. Isn't that so?
Yeah,
We don't have to negotiate it. We just have to receive it. What is the... We have to be in a relationship. You have to be in a relationship. Can I say that again? You have to be in a relationship. You have to know God. You have to know God. You have to know God. It takes time to know God. It takes time to get to the place where you know God as your healer. You have to go through things, usually, before you know God as your healer. You have to live in relationship with God. He's trying to tell us something here. Psalm 107, verse 20. Somebody. Christine, you have that handy, dear? Psalm 107, verse 20.
Verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Say it again, dear. Good and loud.
He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
Do you see a theme here through these verses?
Amen.
What is the theme?
Healing.
Healing. He's our healer. God is our healer. God is our healer. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Now, you only need one of these, by the way. But I thought it would be interesting to throw in 20.
Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed.
By His stripes we're healed. Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17, and someone can be looking up Acts 10:38. Once more, please.
That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.
What do we hear from that? He heals us. He heals us. We haven't found one scripture where God is saying, no, I'm not healing that, sorry. Not one. But it's in relationship. It's in relationship. Now, sometimes the Lord, in His mercy, heals people that are not in relationship. Usually that's the gifts of healing or the gift of faith or something like that. But these are for us. These are scriptures for the family.
Amen.
They're for the family. Acts 10:38. Who's got that one? Jesus went about doing good, healing. There is no and, actually. I know it's there, but it's not supposed to be. Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Healing all. Healing all.
Hallelujah.
Healing all. Healing all. But you know what? Hearing that in my mind, it's wonderful, and I'm really pleased to hear it. But until it becomes real in my spirit, it's just words.
Yeah.
Just words. Two more. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Amen. By whose stripes you were healed. And the last one I have here, and it's not the last one in the Bible, but 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your mind, will, and emotion. What condition is your soul in? So your soul is connected to your health, my health. That's good news and bad news. The good news is, if your soul is prospering in God, the bad news is if you're full of bitterness, anger, resentment, and so forth, that's not good news. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who's attacked is got problems with their soul. Okay? Please let me say that outright. We're all under attack. The enemy takes advantage of anywhere he can. But let us not assist him. You know what I'm saying? Let us not assist him. He doesn't need my help to beat me up. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. God wants you and I to be healthy. And the Bible says he wants us to be prosperous right here on earth. Here on, prosperous is not strictly limited to money. It means prospering in your soul. You know, it's having a life of peace and joy and mercy, grace and goodwill. That's what he wants for us. That's what he wants. But unfortunately, there's a devil on this earth. And he doesn't want us to have that. And so wherever he can get in, he will try to destroy anything and everyone that he can. That's reality. Let's not help him. You know, even when he plants thoughts in our minds that so-and-so really messed up and did something that was really bad. And maybe it's true. But you know what? It's not up to you and I to help the devil punish that person. It's not. And typically it comes back on us. We reap what we sow. God the Father loves Jesus. Would we agree with that? Okay, let's go to John 17. John 17, verse 23 I have here. For I in them and you in me, that they may be made mature in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now see, this is one of those truths that if you don't soak in it, it doesn't mean a thing. The brain can't grasp that God the Father loves you or me as much as he loves Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's really hard to lay hold of. Just with your intellect. In fact, you can't. And that's why you got to soak in these. Now, your intellect can grasp portions of it. And you're saying, well, God loves me. You know, he loves me just as much as Jesus. But it's like it's got to soak in. Soak in till it becomes real. Real. Absolutely real. It requires meditating in it, soaking in it, till it becomes absolute reality. Another one is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says that we're children of God. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Right here on earth, now, your father, your spiritual father, is God. That's very hard to grasp, again, with your intellect. These truths that I'm reading today are things that, if the Holy Spirit doesn't help me, I am never going to get it. Not to the level that he wants me to. And I want to. I want to. Sometimes we're like the older brother there in the prodigal in Luke 15, where he becomes angry because his father is gracious and kind to a brother that he thinks doesn't deserve it. And if we're honest, have you ever felt, why is that person blessed? They don't deserve it. I did more than them. I love God more than them. Why are they getting this blessing? The nature of God. and a religious mindset. In verse 29, the brother's angry and he says to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." You know what that is? Pitiful. Pitiful. This is a fellow who lived with his father for all these years and didn't have a clue about the father's real heart. No idea. Verse 31, we see it. The father says, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours." Now I wonder, for us, were God to appear to us, to speak to us, that we would say to him, "Why didn't this happen? Why didn't you give me that? Why didn't you respond to this?" And have God say, "I did. I laid it all out on the table for you. You didn't come and get it. You didn't come and get it." Or you didn't come and get it with the right attitude. You see what I'm saying? These things God has made available to us, for us. He was telling him, it's already at your disposal. You could have come any time and had what you're asking for. But your mindset wouldn't let you do it. In John chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, "All things that the Father has belong to Jesus. And since we are joint heirs with Jesus, it belongs to us as well." Then Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will take what belongs to Jesus and he will declare it to you and to me." But what's the issue? What's the problem when he declares it? He's declaring it spirit to spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14. Then, just so we don't miss it, and I'm going to read it to you here. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I believe it is. Ephesians 1, 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. And everything originates in the Spirit. So the things that we have came from there. Came from him. And he told us that every spiritual blessing is available to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "Every promise from God is yes and amen through Jesus Christ." So that means everything. It's yours. God gave it to you. He wants you to have it. So when we're laying hold of a promise of God, we're not struggling with God. We're not struggling with God. What happened with Daniel? Do you remember, like, is it Daniel? Yes. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, somewhere in there. What happened? He's praying. And then, what happens? An angel shows up and says, "God heard you the first time you prayed. First time. And he sent me." Now, it's 23 days in between here. What happened? The devil and his entourage did their best to stop this angel from bringing the answer. Well, do you think he's changed his ways? When you and I are praying for something, something legitimate that God has said we can have, the enemy doesn't go, "Oh, no, let him go through because that's legitimate." He does everything possible to stop it. Everything. That's why you have to learn to persevere. Daniel didn't pray 7 days and go, "Well, you know what? God hasn't given this to me yet, so must not be his will. He hung in there, and he kept praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. Finally, God sent an archangel. Michael, I believe. Was it Michael? I think it was. Anyway. And he broke through for him, and the answer came. But the answer was sent immediately. See, we don't see into the spirit realm, so we don't see the enemy's strategies to stop you and I from receiving God's blessings. But God didn't say no. God didn't say no. And yet Daniel had to persevere. If he hadn't persevered, he wouldn't have got it. And that's when we need to understand the heart of God. Healing is ours right now. Forgiveness is ours right now. Every spiritual blessing is ours right now. Amen. Romans 8:31 says, God is for us. John 14:16 says, God is with you. And John 14:17 says, God is in you. So if he's with you, for you, and in you, we come to Romans 8:37, my last scripture. It says it makes us more than a conqueror.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. That's good information, folks.
Amen.
We need to soak in it and let it become real to us. It'll change our lives. God is for you,
yes,
not against you. Heavenly Father, I pray for us, all of us, for the grace of God to be released into our spirit to hear clearly and accurately, that the Holy Spirit would interpret, explain to us these truths. And help us, O God, help us to receive them in our spirit. We bless you and honor you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.